Hello，
Hello。
Hello，
turn my video on for a moment so Ingolf is not all alone.
Hey everyone.
Oh.
And Todd, thank you for keeping in golf company.
And now you have to drink a coffee too. Oh, thank you. Okay.
It's tea in my case, but yeah, we'll call it good enough.
Ah, yeah, you told me that you usually drink tea. Yes. Akibi, do you mind being scribe? Yeah, it's still morning coffee out of the can, Wayne.
Yeah, I can scribe. Thank you for the reminder.
Thank you, Akibi. It's three past. We should start. I was thinking there would be a lot more people like the previous revision of this, but maybe it's not as popular. Let's get started. Is June in here? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we have. Thank you. So we're here to talk about a change to folio support periods. This is due to well, the initial driver was the extension of the Trillium release, causing a significant duration for out of support dependency, which is Spring in this case. And that when the current support policy was instituted in 2022, we used to have three releases back then, which meant the support period was generally short. We moved to, we've had two releases in a year recently. Maybe that is pushing to one release depending on how much we can do in a year. So this proposal is the acknowledgement of that and setting expectations all around. I won't, well, let me just continue. So from the policy doc that is here, and I want to mention that there is a change. We had this discussion some weeks ago. The security team has gone to alter the proposal, so it's not exactly as it was before. So from the proposal, there are some action items. First is setting Ramsey support period to December of this year. Second is extending a Ramsin security triage to March of next year. The security team will triage results on the best effort basis. No fixes will be provided during this extended period. Also, Sunflower support set to June, which is supposed to align with when OSS support for Spring Boot 3.5 ends. And then generally, the Tech Council would be determining support end dates, as well as the official supported technologies. This must happen before development of each flower release, and the relevant stakeholders must be consulted about that, as that is a broad discussion for the community. And then some documentation terminology. There are words like the current release, which is supposed to be the release being actively developed, dropping that and maybe replacing it with next or unfinished, and as well as marking unfinished software for testing purposes only. Security team, are there any other points from the proposal that is missing here? I'll take that as a yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Julian. Any questions for clarity on this proposal? Yes, Wayne.
So this proposal, sort of encompasses the work of the security team in identifying security issues that require critical service releases. It does not address functional bugs that may be identified after the support period date, the proposed support period date would end. Is that a concern? Or do we want to lump those two things together?
Thank you for the question. Any response to that?
Well, the official support period includes both security fixes and critical functional fixes.
Yes, I understand that. Right. And I guess my question is that okay with everyone that there will be no functional fixes as well, and so therefore the basically folks who are on Ramsons should move to Sunflower by the end of the year, if depending on their appetite for risk.
Yes, Maccabee.
I was going to ask process-wise, I think our decision today is like, sorry, I'm not speaking well. We need multiple councils agreeing on this proposal, right? This isn't just a DR that the TC itself is going to approve, if I understand correctly. And I think that the question Wayne just asked is one where PC folks may have, opinions one way or the other on it. So as long as they're getting a chance to weigh in on that particular point, I'm happy to leave it to them to do so.
Thank you, Maccabee. Wait.
Then I would say, I mean, I'm just going to go out there and say, as it stands, I don't think I can support this because, the time frame is too tight. If we are now also waiting for PC, to say, yeah, that's we agree with that, then we're talking about November being the point at which hosting providers and fully users need to make a decision on whether or not to upgrade. By December. And as most of us recognize, December is not really a month, right? I mean, things don't really happen in December, because of holidays and vacation time and various things. So, that I'm just going to go out there and say that I can't support this unless that is cleared up.
Thank you, Wayne. It is the combination of functional fixes and security fixes. If those were split up, does that change anything, or they're still mostly the timeline is your concern?
I don't want to jump ahead of Mark,
Oh,
and
no, please
Julian.
go ahead and finish your thought. I can go next.
Okay. Yes, if those were split up, that would change my opinion. I think that the work that the security team has committed to do through the security triage is valuable. Through the security triage period is valuable and helpful and necessary. And I understand that promising to support modules, promising to support modules to say upgrade to a supported version of Spring Boot is outside of what we as a project can commit to, and I think acknowledging that is important. I'm concerned that we would say that say a data corrupting functional bug would not be fixed. So that's where I'm at.
Thanks, Wayne. Mark?
Yeah, and I just saw Ingolf's comment, and I was going to say pretty much the same thing. A lot of people are on Kisnelia now, right? Still on Kisnelia, and it's been out of support for a pretty long time, I think, since the Sunflower came out. So, migration to Sunflower is not forced on anyone to be completed by the end of this calendar year. They can still stay on Remsons. The risk is pretty low, I would think, that there will be P1 type of issues uncovered. So, just 2 cents on that.
Thank you, Mark. Julian?
Well, this is about the official support period. And if there is some functional fix in the unsupported Remsons, that's okay if the development teams are paid for doing this. That's okay. So it's the same like running Remsons after end of the official support and taking the risk. So, but the thing is, we cannot say it's we make functional support, but we don't have security support. That's misleading. So there should be a clearly defined end of support period, and if there are some functional fixes, well, then that's not officially supported, but it's still possible.
Thank you, Julian. Wayne?
So you would say if a development team, this is addressed to Julian. So you would say if a development team said, yeah, okay, yeah, we acknowledge that this is a P1 functional support issue that needs to be backported to Ramsons because of the reality that so many users are still on Ramsons. And someone pays for that work, presumably. Would that be a CSP, or would that be just like, oh no, we're just making another release? Like, who would me like? Would that be a release that's made out of the release branch and published on the Folio Docker presence? But is somehow an unsupported release of a module? I mean, that just feels kind of like a weird in-between place to be.
Julian, please respond and then we'll go to Mark. And if you don't have a response, that's cool.
Well, we already have a similar situation with Sunflower Okapi modules and Sunflower Okapi that has been released and had been got fixes, security fixes, and this was not so officially supported, but it had been made by the development team. So a similar thing can be made for the Remsons things. And that's a matter of if people are willing to provide human resources to make the CSP testing and so on. And if this is provided, then it's okay. Then we might even get a CSP for an unsupported Remsons. But that's I think that's that needs to be decided at by other people.
Mark? Mark?
You're muted if you're talking.
Maybe you had to step away or something. I was going to say that the CSPs are not limited to security fixes, and I think that most of what goes into those are functional fixes rather than security ones. So that was what I was gonna I was gonna add. McAfee.
Yeah, I agree with that point, and I think that the Mark was saying before that lots of institutions are still in Quesnelia. It's absolutely true that folks take a while to upgrade, and there are definitely still P1s coming out for Ramsons now, and I would not be at all surprised if the first week of January there are still P1s coming out that are functional related, not security related. So I think Wayne's concern is a good one. I'm not clear how best to address it, but I would think we would have a community problem if the majority of institutions were still on Ramsons, had bugs that were recognized as P1s, and we weren't able to address them. If from what Julian and others are still saying, we still could address them, we still could do CSPs, even if they're not officially supported. Okay, that's great news, but I guess I maybe we need to say that somewhere in a clear way.
Thank you, Maccabee. I agree with you. The issue here is that, well, we have functional and security bundled together. It is up to the community to decide to create a CSP for functional issues. So I don't think fixing bugs in Ramsons in January would be a unsupported or unreleased version. It would probably be a CSP if it's serious enough for folks. But the nature of a security fix is that upgrading the version of Spring Boot during a CSP is probably not ideal, nor is making a patch on the current version, because that requires in-depth knowledge about the dependency, whichever it is. Overall, I think, like McAfee said, it needs to be written somewhere that this is what's going on, and this is what's going to happen. I don't see, and I don't know if most people are aware of the security triage process, but I'm aware that most times the security team opens PRs in the specific modules that are present for the dev teams to review and merge. But if there is a P1 in January for Ramsons, who's going to fund that? How is that change going to happen? Yeah, I figured Mark stepped in for a call or something. Mark, we were reaching out to you, but you had left. I'll finish this thought and then you can speak, Mark. So if we have a P1 in January that requires upgrade of a dependency or a patch, who is going to do that? And that to me is not a technical question, but the we can state how the current landscape is right now and see what others say. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And again, apologies for stepping away when you called my name. I was just going to say that, and I think this is something that I recommended before when we first discussed the support periods. It may be helpful to list the different scenarios for when we encounter P1, P2 type of issues. For each, we should be specific about who would need to own it, who would need to own it, and then what the potential cost might be. Is if we do it this way, then for things that are out of community support, the community may decide whether to fund backporting fixes to the unsupported release, or if it's a hosting service provider who will have to absorb the cost and do it on their own. I think we need to differentiate between the things that the community supports versus what a hosting service provider would support and do on their own.
Thank you, Mark. I attempted to do that in this document here. If there are no other thoughts or opinions, we can go through that right now. Okay. Yes.
Sorry, yeah, I just took me a second to find
I
the raise
understand.
my hand button. Mark, I'm curious what if you could give an example of something that a hosting provider would be managing outside of what the community would manage.
Well, for example, if those who are currently running on Kisnelia, right? So if a P1 issue is discovered, right? So the community has moved on, right? We're no longer supporting Kisnelia, but the hosting provider still has customers who use Kisnelia, and they have a decision to make whether to upgrade them to Ramsons, and that will take time and effort, or fix this P1 issue on Kisnelia. If they choose to fix the issue on Kisnelia, well, they would have to use their own resources to provide the fix, test it, and deploy it to their customers. That's what I'm thinking about. Does that make sense, Wayne?
Yes, thank you, Mark. I think that does make sense. I mean, my assumption, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't know the whole world of hosting providers, but my assumption is that the risk in this case that hosting provider and their customers would be taking on is the risk of needing to rush an upgrade, not probably the risk of a hosting provider providing resources to go in to the code and generate an unofficial version of the software. That would be, I would think, kind of unrecommended. But I don't know. Maybe that is more of a viable option than I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the decision would need to be made on a case-by-case basis,
Sure.
because it might be a cheaper option to implement a fix rather than upgrading them,
Right, depending on right. I mean, if you're talking about something that right. I mean, like the Log4j, there was a mitigation, right, which was not a code fix. Just it's always nice to think about
Exactly.
past examples. But that one there was a mitigation that you could do from a configuration perspective to mitigate the risk.
Exactly. So there are three options basically. One is, upgrade to the newer supported version. Second is fix the bug. Third one, provide a compensating control.
Actually, Mark, there are five options, and I will go through that in the doc.
That's a great segue.
So I put this together, which is that the options basically, and the first is upgrading to the supported dependency version. Second is applying a custom patch to the dependency. Third is upgrading to the next folio version with a supported dependency. Fourth is to implement temporary mitigations. And five is to accept the risk and document. How are we doing on time? We're at 30 minutes. Okay, let me try and breeze through this really, really quick. Upgrading to the supported dependency version. So imagine upgrading Spring Boot within Quisnelia. So the impact is high, the development timeline can be high, and may require cascading upgrades because, for example, Spring 3 required Java 17. So maybe there's a version of Spring you're going to and then says, oh, you have to be on Java 21. And that can blow up the estimates. There could be potential, breaking changes in the interface, so you'd have to manage that. There's risk of introducing new bugs, and then infrastructure components. So let's say there's a P1 in Kafka or something that will probably require stakeholder consensus. The cost estimate, that too is still high. Multiple teams, if the dependencies is widely used, or just multiple modules that needs to go through that. Testing resources, that's extensive. Doing a bug fest within 2 weeks is probably a tough thing to do, and then that could delay the next release, or the next release that is in development can delay that timeline depending on how much work is involved with this option. So, $2 signs to $3 signs. And this part is the whole document is draft, but put together, I just put someone as who would own the changes. So the primary is the development team. The module owners would implement the changes, or the change that go there. The security team would assess the risk and validate the risk, the fixes. DevOps would need to update pipelines, and then the RMS would need to approve timeline changes if needed, because the next release has been altered. So that's option one. Option two is applying a patch to the dependency. So rather than upgrading to Spring, you pull down the code, change whatever you need to do, and then try to use it in folio modules. So that is very high impact and with risk as well. So it's costs more than just updating the dependencies. So you need deep knowledge of the library or the framework. And then that change essentially creates a fork of that upstream project. So if it's not exactly the same, the fix that is, then we have to manage that continuously. There's maintenance burden for all future dependency updates of that dependency. The patch that was made may conflict with the future upstream changes from the maintainers of the dependency. Difficult to test all edge cases and interactions. We have a quality issue with Folio, and pushing the requirement for testing there would seem unreasonable. And then having to maintain that patch across the Folio releases, and generally the patch not even addressing the root vulnerability completely. So the cost estimate is high, and then ongoing cost as well. So initial development is very high. You probably need external knowledge to get it fixed correctly, and just that, yeah, more money, extra money, continuously, is what is involved here. And then I mentioned the responsible parties again. Option three is going to the next Folio release. So that is medium impact. So of all the three options, that is the least impact. It's not small, but it's the least out of the three. And I talk about, just following the standard upgrade path, if to include the platform improvements and new features, then data migration is handled by the migration flow that we use in every release. The version is tested in Bugfest. If the next release is available within 2 to 4 months, that may be the most viable one. The Folio support period, as it stands now, is the current plus the previous. So, being within those bounds is better than being out of it. The cost estimate is medium. Upgrade effort is standard, like any upgrade there. The testing is again standard, using Bugfest and all our testing abilities currently. Might need training on the new features and the UI changes that may be included. Is lower risk than custom solutions. And may include accelerated timeline costs if urgent. So if Trillium was supposed to come out in 3 months and there's a P1 and we need to do something to get it out in 1 month, that there will be some cost with that. So that too, I put the responsible party is the hosting provider or service provider to perform the upgrade, basically, is that. The fourth is to implement temporary mitigation similar to what was discussed with Log4j. Whether that's compensating controls at the network layer or whatever else, implementing monitoring to see if that vulnerability is exploited at any time. Of course, it's not a permanent solution, only buys more time to whether that's the upgrade or these other two options that may be in place. This can be deployed quickly and may not address the root cause of the vulnerability. So this is low to medium costs. This is one of the lowest costs, but it's not a permanent fix. And who is responsible? The security team and the hosting provider. The hosting provider would implement the controls. The security team could, validate, hey, what is the change you need to make to ensure that the controls are, effective, and then, communication to institutions and, DevOps configuring, monitoring and alerting. Last option is just say, hey, yeah, we'll deal with it. So accepting the risk and documenting it. So yeah, talk about all the issues that can be involved in that. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, I would suggest option six also is that not ideal for the open source community, but there is the option for where supported, use commercial support, at least for Spring Boot. That actually extends the entire previous Ramsons, like all the way into December 2026, or even for 3.3, June 2026. Not that it's great, I mean, it's low impact but high cost because they can ask whatever price they want for this support, but that is technically an option people have.
The folio module will still need to be upgraded to that version, correct?
Yes, it'll probably require a custom patched version or that's separate from the communities because it's relying on commercial support. And I imagine they ask really high prices.
I would think that falls under option two in a way. What do you think? Because the commercial support, they would be doing the custom patch to the dependency, with the which is a basically this here. Kevin, what do you think?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that observation. Yes, Wayne.
It is a little different in that applying a custom patch to the dependency, if it was effort from the Folio community, it would fall under Apache licensing, right? Like we would have an Apache, we would have or whatever, right? We would have a licensed fork. And using commercial support, presumably that's not. Does that right? Is that something that would introduce proprietary code into the code base? And so it would have to be a separate release.
Julian?
Yes, it's a not open source. You need to pay per CPU, and we cannot make this in a public repository. So that will be very difficult and very expensive.
Kevin, you had your hand up or no?
I did, but Julian covered it.
Okay. I understand the distinction there. So once your commercial support has a custom version, work will need to be done to, get it into the folio module, and all of that. I don't see that being, publicly available. So it seems to me this is more, it's like option two, whether that's public or private is how I'm seeing it. Yes, Florian.
Option three is there. You said it's a thing that's rather easy to do or and does not cost very much, but the reality shows that most self-hosters have problems to upgrade to a new folio version because sometimes there are bugs and you cannot upgrade. You have to wait for some CSP one or two. That's natural. That's things happen, yeah. And it's also a problem of the self-hosters not to contribute to the bug fest environments or to try the releases before the GA release. That's a problem of yeah. I didn't do it also and. I want to do it in the future, but sometimes it's also a problem with the libraries. They have to migrate some things or to change their processes or something else or there maybe also other bugs that make upgrades impossible for the short term. So they. You sometimes have to wait or to talk to them and to, yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah, and I call it medium impact. So yes, still not easy, but like which option do you want to do? Do you want to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars and then still fix folio code by creating, your own patch and then deploying that? Or do we want to go in and fix the upgrade code so that it can, upgrade correctly? I agree with what you're saying. And I think that issue of not being able to upgrade to the new version due to bugs is a problem earlier in the pipeline of the software, you know, lifecycle. But ultimately, if this is not attractive, you'd have to choose, you know, one of the others that are present. So it would have to be on a case by case basis. Mark, are you does this capture your suggestion?
Yeah, plus more. Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
great job outlining these five different options.
Yeah, and this is a draft, so I'm sure most people haven't seen this because I just put it together recently. So that can be, you know, talked about, especially when it gets to, you know, who's owning it or whatnot. But these are the options, as I see it. McAbee.
Yeah, this is probably stating the obvious, but I just want to do a sanity check. When we were talking earlier in the meeting about the functional bugs and the options for addressing those, that's a completely separate issue from this proposal here, which is the security vulnerability remediation options.
Correct. Yeah, this is for P1s.
Well, but there are P1s. There are a lot of functional P1s that we were talking about in the first half.
P1 security.
Right. Right.
Vulnerabilities. Yeah.
That's okay. Just making sure, because we still, I think, as discussed earlier, have to resolve that other issue as well of what the options are for the P1 non-security issues. But I don't mean to derail this. I just wanted to be clear that we haven't actually finished that part.
Todd?
Just sort of an aside. Thank you for putting this together. I think it lays out the all of the concerns. What I'm wondering is it okay if I need to, well, I can imagine this being useful in me talking to the product council about the kinds of concerns that the technical council has been wrestling with the support period. If it seems useful to any conversation with a PC, is it okay to refer to this draft document?
Yes, that is one of its uses.
Great, thank you. Because I think it's also very educational.
Thank you, Todd. Okay, so back to this. So I guess I will go out and say that the security team will not be building a custom patch for the dependency if there is a P1 in January, nor will they upgrade Spring Boot in all of the modules that are needed. So it's a question of funding. So if we say we want to extend the support period past December, and it's going to include security issues and functional issues, to me, it's a matter of who is doing the work. Is what I see. We can have that stance, but we don't want to agree to that stance, and then in January, when something happens, you know, we are pointing fingers. That's my general take on this. Any other questions? Yeah, I guess we should vote to see, you know, what the TC members think about this going forward. Any disagreements to that, or there's still things we should talk about, or other options? So this is laying out a problem that we need to solve. Are there any other creative solutions to this, McAbee?
Well, so I just want to understand, if we don't support this and we, the proposal that RMSG was making was essentially just extending the Ramson's security date, or sorry, the Ramson support date period until I forget what the date was, but maybe February or March or something like that, to include both security and functional issues. And so the security team is raising the security side problems with that, which is why this proposal. But just to be clear, that is the current state of things, I guess, if we were not to support this proposal.
Yes, that is the landscape. So if RMS says, you know, support is going to whenever, when there is a P1, the development team or the people who tell people to go do work would have to then do that. Yes. Yes, Wayne.
Well, I mean, two things. One is I believe that I think I disagree with Julian that it's not sensible to separate functional and security. I think it is probably sensible to separate functional and security. I would support something that separated functional and security. A second point is if in January a P1 security issue is raised that affects ransoms, no matter what the policy says, there just isn't money in the bank to take on the effort of backporting to get to it. I mean, I think the concerns that the security team raised and the cost documentation that Alameda put together make it clear that it would not be addressed regardless of what our policy says. Like, it's just, we just can't support it as a project. And so, communicating that in some way, regardless of whether we pass this policy or not, communicating that in some way is really important.
Agreed, Wayne. Thank you. And I think that is the crux of the matter here. I agree. And I guess maybe I might be speaking for the security team. Whether this proposal gets approved or not, you know, they will not be opening PRs to have a custom patch for Spring Boot, you know, in January, if that's needed. So, you know, the decision here is stating that that's what they're going to do. Security team, am I off base, or there's some leeway there?
Well, when it's in January, it's officially supported, then we will propose the costly patches and upgrades. And then it's up to the community to decide whether they really want to pay this money, or if they want to shut down their systems, or they want to migrate to Sunflower.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maccabee?
Yeah, so I mean, Wayne was suggesting that he would support something that separates functional and security. Can we do that? I mean, I understand Julian and others were opposed to that before, but it sounds like if we do nothing right now, then we have actually separated those two, because functional P1s will continue to be supported through the extended ransoms period, and security bugs by effect will not be supported, because as Julian just said, they would propose the costs and people would not accept them. So if we do nothing on this, we have, as a practical measure, separated those two, and that may be the best. Mm-hmm. That may actually be the best option, whether we just do that by not supporting this policy, or we do it by actually writing down, you know, why, you know, writing down the intent there.
Mm-hmm. And that was going to be what I wanted to bring up. Thank you, Maccabee. Ingolf.
This is probably not a productive remark, but as I listen to this, this is just a follow-up discussion. I mean, the decision has already been made when the original Sunflower release date, which was November or end of November, had been postponed. It was already clear there that we cannot support ramsons until the release of Sunflower. So it was somehow a mistake to postpone this, you know, because it was all planned and scheduled, and we could not support Remsen's for longer. Other with this financial stuff, means,
Thanks,
yeah.
Ingolf. Wayne?
I would encourage us not to do nothing just from a communications perspective, just because I think it is really important to raise the issue of the risk that we are taking on. I had a conversation this morning with one of our support analysts, and the problem is that when we in the tech council talk about risk, we talk about it in a fairly nuanced way. And what I think someone like a support analyst hears is blah 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 risk, and risk is bad. And so I think we do need to try and quantify what the risk is so that we can help communicate to customers, users, adopters, what kind of risk we're really talking about here.
I agree on definitely communication. Julian?
To separate the security fixes and the functional fixes, I made some additional sentence into the decision record draft, saying that for Remsen's, after the official support has ended, the release. The release management stakeholder team can still accept functional fixes if they are P1 and if there's enough funding. That's below in the rational section.
Which part is that? Up or down?
Forearms, it's the first sentence on the screen here. Yeah.
Oh, first sentence on the screen. This one? Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Julian, if you're good with splitting those two. And it seems, you know, you are in agreement. Do we, okay, Mark Maccabee, go ahead.
I just have a question for Julian. I think that's very helpful. Could we just get rid of the provided that it gets funded part there? Meaning that we'd be saying for functional fixes, I mean, I guess it's still implicit. Any work is always dependent on funding. That's true. But to not imply anything different about the community's level of care for a functional issue after that point. Is that possible?
Julian, is that possible?
Yeah, sure. I can delete it if you think that it's misleading.
But who will pay for this? I mean, RMS team can approve whatever, so somebody has to implement it, right? And so, who will be implementing it and getting paid for that?
Maccabee, then Todd.
I'm suggesting it would just be the same for a functional issue on January 1st as it would have been for December 31st. It would be, you know, a CSP for, we're talking about a functional issue, right? A CSP on, you know, raised in the same way and on the module for the dev team to address or not as the dev team will.
Yeah, but from a practical perspective, okay. So yeah, there is a functional issue, right? And it needs to be fixed. But who's going to be fixing it? So the community decides, right? Which development team will be working on this if there is no funding? Because some development teams are working on something else, and for them that would be a distraction, right?
This wasn't exactly what I was going to, the comment I was going to make, but perhaps the change could be that the RMS group may accept a functional fix that is offered, and then that kind of that means that the RMS group is not assigning work, but is willing to receive work that is offered. So that's the one thing I wanted to say about the on this. The other thing, which is really an aside at this point, is I do think it's important and useful that this that the proposal has made some explicit statements about extending the security review, the security triage. I think that's very important, and we shouldn't gloss over that. It's valuable.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The security review, the triage, going all the way to March, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's very valuable.
Okay. Yeah, that is still in place. Thanks, Todd. Wayne?
So I think Mark's comments are kind of interesting. And Todd suggested a compromise. What I wonder is, if the this feels like it gets outside of the bailiwick of technical, and like well outside the bailiwick of technical, and is really a product decision. And then I mean, right? Because the truth of the matter is, right? Like, if something is under support, as a product, and then fixes are not funded any more than they are if it's in support, right? I mean, in this case, right? Like, we have a convention that during the support period, development teams will take on the work of fixing priority one bugs. And I think what Mark was suggesting is that after December 31st, that development team should not take on that work, because it would be unfunded. Is that kind of where you were, what you were saying, Mark?
Exactly. And
Yeah.
yeah, I
So
mean,
that would be a pretty significant decision, and it feels like a product decision, not a technical one.
agreed. And I think it was Jeremy Hough who previously suggested creation of an emergency fund to pay for fixing P1 issues for versions that are no longer supported. And the product council, maybe community council, would need to make a decision whether or not to invest money from the emergency fund to pay for this.
That could be.
Yeah, I agree with Todd's compromise issue, and I'm where Wayne is on this. To me, it's not a technical issue here. It is a very much a product issue, and it's there's th that's why I guess my difference with Mark here is I don't see it as a difference either way. If there's a P1, a functional P1 today, the community is not providing extra support for that being resolved. It's whatever our community conventions are. I agree, depend on the support period as stated, and that's what concerns me about this change to the definition of the support period as it regards functional issues. The other point I just wanted to make is I think this may be fair to say that most of the P1s being raised against Ramsons at this point are backports of P1s that were already fixed against Sunflower or Trillium. And so when we're talking about the costs and the dev work involved, I think it's that probably adds some context to it, that it's less so than work from scratch of a P1 might be originally.
Thank you, Maccabee. Julian, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I think we should vote on this, and we should say that the PC should work on the clause about the functional fixes after end of Ramsden support.
Thank you. Mark, did you raise your hand?
Yeah. I mean, I think we shouldn't, well, the technical council shouldn't lose the sight of funding of that emergency fund. And that may be a recommendation that is presented to the product council and the community council, because what is discussed here is just a recommendation. That's not a decision, right? The decision needs to be ratified by the other councils as well. And again, the comment about January 1, what happens to the P1 issues, we provided support until December 31. What happens on January 1? But the same argument, what about January 2? What about January 3rd? When does it end? So there has to be a clear cutoff. Okay. And from I'm speaking strictly from a practical point of view here, I'm speaking from the EBSCO's perspective. So EBSCO will continue to provide support for folio versions that our hosted customers are running on. So during the transition period, in other words, when we are upgrading from one version to another, that would mean continuing to provide support for two versions. Okay, so we started upgrades to Sunflower, so we will provide support for Remsons and Sunflower. I expect that our upgrades to Sunflower will go beyond December 31st. So our functional support for our Remsons will continue until we complete our upgrades to Sunflower. Because we will have our customers running on Remsons at that time. And if they run into P1 issues, we will fix them and make those fixes available to the community. Again, I'm speaking from a strictly practical perspective, practical view on this. Once all of our customers are upgraded to the latest version of Folio, well, then the community needs to figure out how they will pay for fixing P1 issues of folio that is folio version that is no longer supported.
Wayne?
So I am not comfortable bringing forward this recommendation.
Wayne, are you there? Did your audio
Yes.
cut out? Oh, okay.
I can hear
Sorry,
you.
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm not comfortable bringing forward a recommendation that support that the support period for P1 functional issues ends December 31st, and the community needs to come up with emergency funding after that, based on 2 minutes of discussion up against the end of the meeting. I feel like that's not really something that I'm ready to vote on. I mean, I am willing to consider it and to think about it. I would also point out that the problem that we are facing is a result of a decision by the RMS group, right, to push back the release of Trillium. And so, I mean, it's sort of, it's a little bit, right. I mean, these are things that are following. I think this is what Ingolf was trying to get at. These are things that are following from that decision of the RMS group. It's not like it came, it's not like it was an unconsidered decision at the time. So.
Thanks, Wayne. We are at time. I just want to say that things about funding, blah blah blah, is not included in this. And with Julian's edits to keep this strictly security, the scope is minimized. We won't vote on this today. So think about it. If so, this proposal for security, only, and then needs to be communication to the PC and maybe the CC on the current landscape. But that is all we'll be able to get to today. Yes, Maccabee.
Just hoping that PC can get a brief on our discussion today, even though we're not making any decisions, it may be helpful for them to know what we talked about here today and the difficulty.
All right, Scribe, get on it. All right. Thank you, everyone. We will continue this conversation. Actually, we don't meet next week. Okay, that changes things. But good for now. We will figure something out and do this offline. Yeah. Thank you.
All right,
Thanks.
thanks.
Thank you.
Enjoy the week off.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.